You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, you got to go to a workout. Did you happen to jump in and get some reps yourself?
I did not. It was younger gentlemen working on their games, and I did not want to discourage their 2019 draft prospects. So by, you know, challenging them to a three-point shootout or anything. So I abstained, and I shagged the occasional rebound, but that was the extent of my participation.
I'm going to start looking for you on mock boards, on mock draft boards. Just see.
I'm entering without an agent. I'm dipping my toe in the draft waters to see where I land.
The nice thing is, because we get paid for this stuff, we, you know, you can always come back to it. Whereas, like,
wait, you're getting paid for this?
Oh, I forgot to. Yeah, you're an intern. Locked our Laker intern room is what I thought we were.
Yeah,
that's awkward. We'll get to
it's
that.
All right,
later.
I'll hang up and take your answer offline.
All right. So the way we're gonna awkward segue leave from that is I talked yesterday about Kyle Kuzma and the stuff that I'd like to see from Kyle Kuzma moving forward, as has gone with all these reviews. And I told Pete, I DM'd him this morning, and we were getting together to figure out what time we were going to record. And he said, oh, well, crap, I just spoke to Kyle Kuzma's trainer. So, look, we don't have much to offer in terms of what we were expecting from Josh Hart, because he was injured for so much of summer league and then into the preseason and stuff. And so we'll just briefly touch on that at the end of the first segment, and then we'll go on and further review and look forward to Josh Hart's career, just as we have with other guys. But I wanted to start with what Kyle Kuzma's trainer told you about the things that he's going to be working on in the summer, because that's really interesting stuff.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it was great to talk to him, for one, and to watch a pro skills trainer at work up close and, you know, 6:30 in the morning. And I was there for good, I think, 3 hours or so between watching him do two workouts and then interviewing him after the fact. And as it specifically related to Kuz, it was music to mine and Laker fans' ears, in terms of he's very aware of, like, the ball handling deficiencies, mm-hmm. which we talked a little bit about how difficult it is to work on the defensive end and how that's more like film work over the course of the summer. Mm-hmm. Whereas in a one-on-one, you know, workout type setting, you're more working on offensive stuff. And on the offensive stuff, Kuz wants to become like a go-to guy, you know, like a guy you can give the ball to. The play that you ran didn't work. There's 8 seconds left on the shot clock, and he needs to create his own shot. And he's a straight line driver at this point, Kuzma is, mm-hmm. and he wants to build his game beyond that. So a big focus of the summer is going to be getting him beyond just being a straight line driver and having a little more in his ball handling package to be able to leverage the shot making ability that he already has.
Yeah, that's kind of how I put it last night, was that he's pretty good at you know, he showed an ability, obviously, to shoot, and then as a result, they started closing out hard on him, and he was pretty good at attacking those closeouts for maybe one or two dribbles. I'd kind of like to see him incorporate moves that involve maybe, you know, three or four dribbles, right? And the guy who really comes to mind, and Matt Moore pointed this out on Twitter, and I haven't been able to not see it whenever I watch Russell Westbrook play, is he is exponentially better when he scores or shoots off of fewer than two dribbles, one or two dribbles, and he's a lot more effective and a lot more efficient, which is crazy when you think of somebody as talented and as explosive as Russell Westbrook is. I kind of feel like that's where Kyle Kuzma is right now, and I'm dubious because there's like a there's a rhythmic aspect to dribbling and handles and stuff. And it's one of those things that I, in my opinion, you kind of either have or you don't, and you can build with what you have. Do you think he can build with that stuff moving forward?
That's a good question, and that's something I've wondered as well, is are there very many examples of guys that – and I'd love to hear from the listeners on this, if kind of guys that come to mind on this are – that came in with like so-so handles and really improved at that. We can name a bunch of guys as shooters who came in as not so hot in that respect and got better at it. But I can't recall a ton of guys that – became like really good ball handlers. That said, I think Kuzma's size helped makes up for that. I don't think he needs to be Kyrie and have this crazy, you know, handles package that he's able to shake guys with. I think he can be a little more functional in terms of bringing his dribble in closer to his body and shortening his dribble a little bit. And just these like kind of basic fundamental things that, you know, he has as a shooter, but maybe doesn't quite have at this point as a ball handler. I don't think he needs to be an elite ball handler to become functionally better than he is now. Like, what do you see kind of his potential is as a ball handler in that respect?
I think it's just like, I'm trying to think also of guys who developed that skill set, who went from being able to take one or two dribbles to taking three or four. And man, that list is really short. And so really all I need to see is, can you go from can you make a counter? Can when the defender steps to beat you to a spot, can you then counter and either spin off or, you know, change direction smoothly enough to still maintain footwork and get a clean shot off? That I think he can do. That I think go ahead.
And that's something that you talked about, his ability to attack closeouts, which is very good. But almost by definition, attacking a closeout means that somebody else compromised the defense and pulled your man away from you. Kuz was good as an ISO guy in like, but in very limited quantities. And so really it's the difference. It's not so much, I mean, because the league's kind of going away from three or four dribble type possessions. Yeah. But it's, can you, in those two dribbles, can you have created an advantage that either works out for yourself or a teammate? I don't think Kuz is quite capable of doing that at this point, but I do think he can get there, and that's what they're working on this summer.
Yep, that's great to know, and that's the kind of thing that and the bigger point that I made yesterday on both sides of the ball is that the improvement that we saw from Kuzma throughout the season makes me think that he can continue that improvement, right? Like, he was a different player in summer league, then he added stuff heading into preseason, and then he added stuff over the course of the regular season. And that tells me that, one, he has an aptitude to improve and an attitude to improve. And those are two huge things.
Clint talked about that. At one thing, I'll have a piece out kind of detailing this more thoroughly, but Clint said something interesting, that he said Kuzma is honest with himself. And that's something that's really important in player development, is you want to make sure you're on the same page as the coaching staff. You want to make sure that, you know, you have your idea of what the player can do. You want to hear the player's input, but the player has to be honest with himself and not be like, I can do everything great and I'm going to be, you know, the next LeBron James or whatever. He needs to be able to look at himself and be like, hey. And that was, Kuzma got better on the defensive end, for example, toward the end of the season. And that was something that Clint said that kind of came from Kuzma, in terms of him being able to evaluate like, hey, this is somewhere I need to get better and I'm not going to BS myself through that. So speaking to your point about mentality, I think Kuz very much has that.
That's great to hear. All right, so we're going to take a quick break and then we are going to jump into the Josh Hart conversation. Thanks again, Pete, for offering that up. That was really good stuff.
Sure.
I didn't intro the show at the beginning, but you guys know where you can find the show. You guys know where you can find my stuff on Twitter. You can find Pete's stuff online. We're going to take a quick second. When we come back, we'll quickly talk about expectations with Josh Hart, and then we'll get into the actual evaluation of his season. All right, so like we've kind of said, there wasn't much that we could really expect out of Josh Hart, right? It was this guy who was drafted, what, mid to late? What was he drafted?
30th. He went 30th.
Late, the latest you can be drafted in the first round. And so you have that going into it, and then he gets hurt. And, you know, there was some analysis that could be done from college basketball, but I'm always dubious about that kind of stuff. There are way better people at that than I am. But what were you hoping to see from Josh Hart heading into last year, really quickly?
I wanted to see a ready-made contributor, right? He came from this blue blood program, one of the best programs in the country, mm-hmm. Jay Wright at Villanova. This guy that had been part of a national championship team and a big part of that, was the best player on Villanova his senior year. I wanted to see a guy that can come in right away and be a rotation player, and I think we saw that.
I completely agree. And with all rookies, like this is going to be something I probably repeat with any rookie that anybody asks me about. I just want to see, is there a niche that this guy can – is there a role that this guy can open up for himself? And I think you and I are both on the same page here. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Very much so.
100 times yes. 1,000 times yes. I went so far as to say that I think he is a championship caliber player, so long as he continues to grow. Would you agree with that analysis?
Oh, it's totally easy to see him in a rotation on a team that's going to win a title, right? Like, mm-hmm. What's interesting with him is it's easy to slot him into the 3-and-D type of guy, which is, I think, the role that correct me if I'm speaking out of turn, mm-hmm. but I think that's the role that we see him in on that championship team, right? Mm-hmm. I think he's got something in there beyond that. And I know he put in a lot of work with Miles Simon on, like, after practice of, you know, how can you come off of a ball screen and knock a jumper down? And we saw little flashes of that toward the end of the year when everybody and their mama was hurt and he was like the star player on the team with the exception of Julius, right? Mm-hmm. And we saw, like, I think 4 games in a row of him scoring 20 plus points toward the end of the year. And the end of the year is a strange part of the season, but that's nothing to sneeze at, right? And so I hope that he has the mentality to not just view himself that way. Like one thing that always bothered me about Larry Nance is I feel like he decided early on in his career that he was a role player, mm-hmm. and I can't think of anything skill-wise that he really got that much better at over the course of his young career. Now he's still a good player, but I feel like the mentality of, hey, I'm just a role guy, I'm going to set good screens and roll hard to the basket and play good defense, that's great, but I don't want Josh Hart to be the perimeter equivalent of that guy. I still think he can do more than he's shown.
I could not agree with you. If anybody could hear a head nod, like as you were talking about Larry Nance Jr., like that would be the instance that it would come through. It's just like he was perfectly happy with just doing the small things, and eventually you're like, Larry, you need to do the occasional big thing.
And he has the talent to be able to do that,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And like there's something in there, and I feel the same way about Josh Hart, is that he's not at that point yet, but I do think there's something in there, and I hope he doesn't limit himself mentally to just put himself in that box of being a 3-and-D guy.
And to the point, or to the hope that we both have on this point, is that he was able to, as the team needed different things, he was able to kind of alter and tweak his game to be able to do those things, right? It was what was the Charles Barkley nickname that he gave himself, or that people gave him?
Oh, Josh Barkley?
Yeah, there you go. So everybody got hurt. The Lakers needed rebounds. Okay, sure. I'll use my insanely well adapted frame to go in there and knock people out of the way to go get some rebounds. Oh, I'm guarding a bigger three today and they want to take me into the post. Well, that's fun. Good luck moving me. Right. And I just say it was really fun to watch his game just kind of evolve as the Lakers needed that. And really in the modern NBA, that's what you need all of your guys to be able to do. I was listening to a Simmons podcast like forever ago, and Mark Cuban was talking about, he was asking Cuban, what do you think the next big thing is? And Cuban said, well, what you got to do is look at everyday utilities that only do one thing. And the example that he had back then was TVs. He says, right back then, TVs could only, you just turn it on and it just showed you whatever was on cable. And look for the next big thing to have for these TVs to have apps and be able to link you directly to the internet and go about it that way. And lo and behold, that's why Mark Cuban is a billionaire. And that's kind of how I see basketball players now, is you can't just do one thing, because eventually somebody's going to come along and do that one thing and also be able to do something else if the team that you're playing on has legitimate aspirations beyond, you know, fun regular season team. And Josh Hart showing that he's able to do that is really exciting. Would you say, again, hard to do this with expectations where they were with Josh Hart, but I'll ask it a different way this time. Did he show enough that, you know, he's somebody that you want the Lakers to continue to build with moving forward?
For sure. And part of that's his skill set, but part of it's also his contract. Being the very last pick in the first round means that he's cost controlled at a really cheap price for 4 years. So with a guy like him, you're paying for years, his 22 years old through 25 years old, at just above the veteran minimum in the NBA, and getting a good player out of that. You know, to your point about utility, I absolutely agree about that, and that's going to be an important part of his development, which is why I don't want him to put that mental cap on himself, because it's easy to see him as a 3-and-D type of guy. But he was a good defender, especially for a rookie. But in order to just be a 3-and-D guy, there's a lot of those in the NBA. Mm-hmm. If you just want to be that, you better be really good at both of those. He turned into a really good 3-point shooter. And one thing that was underutilized with him is he did a great job of coming off of screens and knocking them down. He just didn't get that many opportunities to do it. He did that very well at Villanova as well. But on the offensive end, I think that he showed flashes of being able to be an elite catch-and-shoot type of guy. On the defensive end, I think he needs to provide a little bit more. He was excellent on switches in his post defense against bigs and bigger threes, as you pointed out. I think he can be a little undisciplined with his hands when defending guys on the perimeter, can pick up cheap fouls, can the Lou Williams, James Harden type of guys can kind of use his aggressiveness against him. But he was good in that respect. But I think that he needs to be better to be like, oh, this is one of those irreplaceable 3-and-D guys, rather than, hey, there's a half dozen of those on the free agent market every year type of guy.
Yep. All right. So that's a great way to get to our next segment, where we talk about what we hope to see from him, stuff that he could work on this summer, what we want to see from him next season. And we'll get to all of that here in a second. So from a player's rookie year to their second year, they're somewhat limited in the things that they can work on, right? We kind of saw it with Randall or with Ingram, is that, you know, Ingram wasn't going to take quantum leaps all over the court. So he kind of focused on things that he thought he could improve and be a little bit more ready-made with. All that said, I kind of feel like with Josh Hart, because he's an older rookie, that there are he can work on a few more things than the average rookie. That might just be wishful thinking, though. So where do you think he needs to start?
Well, I think maybe I'm a little biased on this. I think he would benefit a lot from film work. He, I think, is in the best shape of all of the young guys, at least at this point of his career. Julius made a huge leap in that respect, whereas guys like Ingram, Lonzo, and Kuzma, they still need to get their bodies in a better place. I think Hart was already there from day one. That's part of being an older rookie and part of the program that he was at Villanova. So I don't think there's too much more to be had potential-wise in that respect. But I do think if his primary function on offense is going to be catch and shoot, attack closeout type stuff, he can finish really well around the basket. He can catch and shoot the three. His dribble pull-up game needs a good deal of work, and his drive and kick game needs work in terms of knowing when to kick it out on those drives instead of trying to force a shot around the rim. So those are probably the two areas. And then again, film work on the defensive end. If he's going to be that 3-and-D guy that's in charge of defending the best perimeter threat, ideally, he needs to watch tape of those guys and be able to pick up their tendencies and not get kind of tricked into the cheap stuff, the cheap fouls and things like that, that he was picking up, you know, last season as a rookie. Where do you see I see Hart as being a guy that has more to go, but I don't see like physical progress, as much physical progress being made as with other guys. Where do you see him in terms of like, how full is his cup of potential at this point?
Well, that's a good way of asking it. I would say physically, like if he takes steps further physically, he becomes like one of the league's kind of specimen kind of players. And that would, it's just hard for me to predict that with any player. Like somebody asked us the other day on Twitter, why we're so reluctant to really call Ingram or predict Ingram is going to be great. And I'm always reluctant to do that because unless it just shows, right? Like after Magic's rookie season, you would just say, oh, yeah, 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 that guy's going to be great because he arguably already was, right? And with players, like I'm uncomfortable saying that they'll be predicting outlier type abilities. So I think he's pretty much where he's going to be physically, but I completely agree with you mentally. And if there's any way that we could get him to subscribe to your YouTube page, Josh Hart, if you're listening, just go on go on YouTube, find Laker Film Room, and hit that subscribe button.
If I can get Josh Hart to follow me, I will make like Fortnite themed videos specifically for him to hammer home themes in his game. You got to know your audience. So I can make that work. Josh, holler at me if you can hear me.
One of my favorite things of this offseason so far was talking to Roni, and Roni turned off, and he said that, you know, it's really important for players to do stuff off the court. So, you know, that like, anybody, any kind of kid listening to the show is like, see, mom and dad, I play these video games for a reason. Got it.
Yes. Exactly.
Argument one. I also wanted to build on the point that you made about the driving and kicking stuff. I think being in the second year of a system and kind of understanding where to attack and where those holes are going to be is going to be huge for him. And then the technique of it, I always kind of watch. It's funny, you and I kind of had a back and forth about it on Twitter as well, where we said that people only seem to recognize one-handedness when it's lefties, right? And Josh Hart, to me, is almost incapable of dribbling to his left and doing anything beyond, you know, like a pull-up jumper. And what I would like to see from him is, as he attacks these angles and as he sees these angles, just improve the technique of dribbling with your left. And if you're just one, you know, pass spot away, being able to make that pass with the left hand, or being able to, you know, see, use your peripherals and find the right kind of angle there that you'll be able to see as he attacks closeouts, which will be there, right? Like, do you think his shooting, do you think, is sustainable, right?
Yeah, for sure. He's got really good technique as a spot up guy, and I like how he finishes around the rim. I think you make a great point about his ability to handle the ball with his left hand. I would say that a lot of the shots that he misses off of the dribble are missed between the dribble pickup and the gather. So mm-hmm. It's before he even really gets into his shooting form. And yeah, it's funny. I was watching at the workout today. Clint was working out, a kid that's going to be a prospect. He's from Yale. I'm going to butcher his name, but Mie Oni. Mm-hmm. And he and I were talking about that. Mie and I were talking about that afterward, of just like that, getting that repetition, like how he's not comfortable with his left hand quite yet, but it's just a matter of like doing it over and over again. And we were talking about how, like, when you're tired, your mechanics on everything, ball handling to shooting, break down a little bit, and that it's important. Those are the times where it's important to mentally focus on, hey, this is how I, you know, dribble through the floor rather than to the floor, and really pound my dribble and get the reps in doing that. Hart is a guy that's similar to Mie in that respect, and that I just think he needs a lot of reps, you know, with his left hand over the course of this offseason. And I think he'll make more shots, even if you don't think of ball handling and shooting being quite that closely tied. In his respect, in his case, I think they are.
Yeah, it was pretty apparent, you know, that look, he's a rookie. So expecting him to be able to walk in with all these things, he wouldn't have gone 30th if he had all these things. But it was pretty apparent as teams started closing out on him hard, that he would get to a spot and not necessarily recognize, all right, well, when I get here, it's tough. You don't want a player to have their mind made up as soon as they get to a spot or as they're getting to that spot. But you want that guy to kind of recognize as they're getting there, this is what's probably going to be here. And I don't think he was quite there last season. And yeah, as he studies more film and figures out some of these things, I'm hoping that he kind of figures that out. Last note here, before we send everybody off into the weekend, we haven't really touched on assets and pieces. Like, Josh Hart is going to fit with whoever, you know, it's Paul George or LeBron because of the role that he plays, but we haven't really touched on assets in terms of guys we're willing to see the Lakers use if they have to shed like Lou Alding's salary. I'm dubious. I don't know how I feel about Josh Hart being used in that sense because of the stuff that we have talked about to this point. But how desperate a situation would it have to get? Like if it's a choice between keeping Randall or keeping Hart, either Randall, you can't retain Randall because of the salary cap situation, or you have to include Hart to move Luol Deng's deal. Which way would you lean there?
I think you got to lean toward Randall. I think you always got to lean toward the guy that has the more difficult skill set to replace, mm-hmm. you know, and Julius is going into the prime of his career, and he's the rare guy that can defend on the perimeter as a big, but also punish you for going small on the other end. So I feel like if the Lakers get big time free agents, which would be what would necessitate having to move Deng's contract and kind of making a Sophie's choice like that, I think the Lakers in these, and we'll see this in the Golden State Houston series, just the ability to switch and punish small ball lineups. I think Randall's one of the few guys in the league that can punish him on one end and defend him credibly on the other. So, I mean, as much as I love Hart, I think he'd be the one that'd have to go in that sort of scenario.
Yeah, I agree. And it sucks to, I mean, it's one of those, do I have to make this choice?
Yeah, I don't want to get rid of any of these guys. And I think what's most likely, if the Lakers find themselves in that position, I think they're likely to move a first round pick or even two to make that happen rather than, because again, the contract portion comes in. Julius is about to get paid, whereas Hart has three more years just making peanuts. And you're going to need guys like that who can play if you're going to get those couple of max guys rather than filling those spots with vet minimum. If you really want to win a title, you need guys like Josh Hart making what Josh Hart is making, Kuzma making what he's making around those max type players. So I think if it came down to it, Lakers will want to keep everybody and will move future picks that are likely to be those late firsts, as much as they've done well with those, rather than move a guy like Hart who's already proven that he's got a place in this league.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's why I've been reluctant to really dive fully into draft analysis, just because, one, I'm not really into that kind of thing, and there are people who would do it way better than I would, and two, because I don't know if the Lakers are going to use that pick. I think they're more likely to use it to get rid of Deng. All right, that'll do it for this episode. I hope everybody enjoyed it. If you've enjoyed these player reviews, make sure you go back, hit the subscribe button, and you can go back and you can listen to all of the ones that we've done so far. We've done Lonzo, we've done Ingram, Kuzma, Randall, now Hart, and we're going to keep those things rolling on through the next, I guess, week or two. I guess you have like 15 of those that you have to do. And if you have questions or comments that you want me to cover heading into Monday's show, the Monday Mailbag, make sure you leave those in the iTunes reviews, 5-star review with the topic of choice. It can be anything. And I will get to that on Sunday. Thanks, Pete, for joining me, and have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, my man.
Have a good one, everybody.